Well, hello from my living room to yours or wherever you are today. My name's Travis. I'm one of the pastors here at The Village, and I'm so glad you've joined us for The Village Online today. Let's pray together. God, thank you for who you are. And I pray that right now that you would speak a word that each and every one of us needs to hear. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is our final week in a series that we've called Coming Back Home. And we've been tracking through the story of what's called the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. So if you've missed it, you can always go back and watch online to catch up with where we've been to this point. But I want to start today with a question. Does anybody else ever feel like you're going through life, but there's no life going through you? I mean, maybe it's a moment, maybe it's a day. Maybe it's a whole lot of days strung together where you feel like you're going through all the motions of life, but there's not a lot of life in your veins. I don't know if anybody else feels like that. And if you're like me, we try a lot of things to change that. So for me, it's coffee. If there's no life going through me, my first assumption is it's because there's not enough coffee going through me. And then after I drink my eighth cup of the morning, I get frustrated that it's not working. I don't know if anybody else feels that. I was facilitating a meeting at a church a few years back, and it was going late into the night. And so one of the leaders asked me if I wanted some coffee. I said, I do. And so we went into the kitchen to start making coffee. And he told me that he'd just been to the doctor because of high blood pressure. And when the doctor asked him how much coffee he drank in the morning, he said, usually two pots. I said, two pods? He said, no, two pots. Pots. And I was like, you are my people. So today, as we wrap up our look at the parable of the prodigal son, I want you to know there's an invitation to receive and there is a choice to make. It's becoming fully alive. That's the invitation today, to become fully alive in Jesus, becoming fully alive. That's the choice to make today, to become fully alive in Jesus. On most days, I spend my morning trying to become fully alive in coffee, and we try to become fully alive in a lot of other things. The younger son in this story tries to become fully alive in a whole lot of other things, but in the end of the story, there's an invitation to receive and there's a choice to make, and in the simplest terms, this is what they are: to become fully alive in Jesus. That's our invitation and that's our choice today. Now, as we've walked through this story over the past several weeks, we've noticed that the younger son has several awakenings that lead him on a journey in coming back home to his father. And as Jesus tells the story, he says that the son moves from death to life. And as we study the story, we see that these are the same awakenings that can help each of us go on a journey in coming back home to God again and again and again and in finding the life that only God offers. So first, there's the awakening to longing, where we discover that we've all got longings in our lives. We've got longings for love and for purpose and for meaning. And ultimately, these longings are given to us by God, and they're intended to lead us toward God and not away from God. In the second awakening, the awakening to regret, we recognize how we've tried to fulfill these longings on our own, and we've often trapped ourselves in this endless cycle of longing and regret, and we get stuck in this loop of regretting where we are or what we've done. But we continue to do what led us there in the first place, maybe because it's familiar or because it's what's comfortable. And in this moment, we start to become aware that maybe what we're doing isn't what we need to be doing after all. We look around and we say, this really didn't turn out like I thought it would. And the good news is that we don't have to stay stuck there. We can have the third awakening, an awakening to help, when we admit that we're powerless to fulfill our own longings on our own. And in this awakening, we discover that we can always start over. We can always ask for help. And we discover that help has a name. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the help that we've been looking for. And then last week in the story, we talked about the awakening to love. And when you awaken to the love of God, you realize that God always makes the first move in your story. God doesn't wait on you to figure it out. God doesn't wait on you to get it right. God doesn't wait on you to make a move. God already made the first move toward you in Jesus. And so when God sees you, God doesn't see you with contempt. God sees you with compassion. And your primary identity is that you are a profoundly loved, unconditionally accepted child of God. And so today we're talking about the fifth awakening, the awakening to life. There are things that have consistently throughout the centuries helped people become fully alive in Jesus, to awaken to life. In our in-person services today, we're celebrating one of those things. We're celebrating baptism today. And baptism is symbolic of moving from death to life. And as somebody goes under the water of baptism and they come back out of the water, it symbolizes being born again into a new life in Christ. And baptism is an amazing moment in time that symbolizes moving from death to life and awakening to the life that Jesus offers. But it's just the starting line of faith. And so the question is, how do you continually awaken to life? We've been praying this simple prayer over the last several weeks. God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. And the prayer of the fifth awakening, the awakening to life is, God, if you are real, make yourself real to me. Awaken in me the confidence that I can live a brand new life. I wonder if you'd read that and pray that with me wherever you are. God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. Awaken in me the confidence that I can live a brand new life. And so if you flip over to the story in Luke 15, Jesus tells the story of the younger son asking for his inheritance, squandering all of it in wild living, coming to a place of regret, and coming back home to his father. And at the end of the story, Jesus introduces another character, the older brother. And so the younger son comes home, and in no time, because of the grace and the love of the father, there's a party going on. And the son, the younger son, is dressed to the nines. He's got his dad's best robe and ring on. He's had a good shower and a shave. And he walks into the party, and it's like he shouts, "Hey, DJ, drop that beat." And in my imagination, his favorite song starts. And he walks out onto the dance floor, and he's surrounded by his friends, and he gets the party started. Right, and then his dad is clapping along, and the other guests are clapping along, and they're cheering him on. And then the older son, his older brother, who's been picking up the slack for his younger brother for months, he's been taking care of everything because he's the one who follows all the rules, and he's the one who's responsible, and he's the one who always takes care of everything else because nobody else will. He comes in from his double shift, and he sees what's happening. And he's the only one who has any logical sense in this story. And he's like, "What? What is going on here?" And Jesus says in verse 26, "So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' And so the older brother became angry and he refused to go into the party. And so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends.'" "You never even gave me a goat, Dad. I just wanted to party with my friends and a goat. Because everybody knows there ain't no party like a West Goat party. Because a West Goat party don't stop. And you never even let me have one of those, Dad." It goes on, "But when the son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." He was dead and he's become alive again. He's becoming fully alive again, and we needed to celebrate. And that's where Jesus ends the story. It's a cliffhanger ending. And for the older son, it ends with a choice. The father leaves the son with a choice. He's like, "I love you, son. You're always with me. Everything I have is yours, but your brother has gone from death to life. Your brother is becoming fully alive again, and you can choose to be part of that, or you can choose not to be part of that. I want you to be part of that, son, but that choice is yours." See, there's an invitation to receive, and there's a choice to make for all of us. The invitation is to become fully alive in Jesus. The choice is whether or not we want to take the steps necessary to become fully alive in Jesus. Because all of us at one time or another, we find ourselves standing on the outside like the older son. And we're looking in at what God is doing like the older son. And the invitation for us is wide open to step into the place where everybody is becoming fully alive. And you can choose to participate in what God is doing, or you can choose not to participate in what God is doing. But only one of those choices leads you to a place where you're becoming fully alive. And in the story, the younger son has found life again in and through the grace and the love of his father, and the older son is left with a choice. Now, there are two different words in the original language of the New Testament that are translated as life in the English language. And so, when Jesus shared one of his big dreams for the disciples in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said this. He said, "I've come that you may have life and have it to the full." So Jesus is clear that he wants his followers to become fully alive. Now, one of the words that's translated as life in the New Testament is the word bios, B-I-O-S. It's the root word for biology. So bios means natural life. It also refers to chronological life. And so the average bios life includes 250,000 hours of sleep, 76,000 meals, 200,000 trips to the bathroom. So bios life is the act of going to work. It's going to the grocery store so you can have food this week. It's running the errands that have to be run. It's paying the bills, and it's trying to figure out how to pay the bills. It's hours spent studying for a test that you don't want to take. It's eating, sleeping, going. All of that is a part of bios life. So it's important. It's necessary to exist in the world, but bios life on its own is empty. Bios life on its own is like going through life, but there's no life going through you. It's just going through the motions. It's just trying to survive. It's trying to keep up with everybody else. It's running the rat race of life. But the other word for life in the Bible is the word Zoe, Z-O-E. Zoe includes a bios kind of life, but it goes way beyond that. So bios is about the quantity of life. It's about the mechanics of life and the motions of life. But Zoe is about the quality of life. So that moment that you figure out what you're passionate about and something comes alive in you, that's Zoe life. Laughing with your friends or your family until your stomach hurts, that's a Zoe quality of life. Having a moment when you feel connected to God and it sparks something in you, that's Zoe life. Waking up to the realization that you want to be part of something bigger than yourself and feeling excited about that, that's Zoe life. And so when Jesus says, "I've come that they may have life and have it to the full," he's using the word Zoe. So right here in John 10:10, Jesus says his whole purpose in coming to earth is to help people have Zoe life and have it to the full. And so the idea is that the more closely you follow Jesus, the deeper connection you have with God, the more Zoe you experience, and the more you begin to become fully alive. You actually see this. These two words play out in the story of the prodigal son. So Jesus starts the story by saying, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." And so he divided his property between them. Interestingly, the word that's translated as property in this story is the word bios. The father literally divides his life between the sons. He gives his younger son his share of all the material things that he has to show for his life, because that's what the younger son thinks will give him the kind of life that he's looking for. And as the story goes, he quickly realizes that all of the material things in the world simply won't fill your soul. And so once the son comes to his senses and he comes back home and he's embraced by his father and the party begins, the father says, "We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." The word "alive" there is a variation of the word Zoe. So the son thought he'd find the life that he was looking for apart from his father, but it left him empty and it left him unsatisfied. And only when he came back home did the celebration begin. And only when he was back in relationship with his father did he awaken to the life he was looking for all along. And so here's the question for us today. Do you want to become fully alive? Do you want to be part of what God is doing? Are you good just kind of going through life without any life going through you. Because there are things that have consistently throughout the centuries helped people become fully alive in Jesus, to awaken to life. Now, there's a picture on your screen with something we call the Discipleship Dozen. Our mission, our stated mission here at The Village, is to lead ordinary people, that's all of us, to become disciples of Jesus, who make disciples, who change the world. So we believe that there's something about following Jesus that makes you come alive in a different kind of way than you've ever experienced before. Something I love about what Jesus did when he called the very first disciples was that he didn't call the spiritual superstars to follow him. He called ordinary people, fishermen and merchants and day laborers, finance professionals and politicians, and they became the people who became fully alive in Jesus, and they became the people that Jesus used to change the world. So if you're not a spiritual superstar, you're in the right place. Because Jesus doesn't call the spiritual superstars, he calls the people who are willing to follow him. So ultimately, we believe that disciple-making, world-changing followers of Jesus do these four things with consistency. Connect, grow, give, and go. These are the things that God has used to help people become fully alive in Jesus throughout the centuries. We call people The Village who do these three things, or these four things, CG3 disciples. Connect, grow, give, and go. CG3. And simply put, we believe that CG3 disciples are ordinary people who follow Jesus, become fully alive, and change the world. Connect. CG3 disciples, they connect to Jesus and a community of Jesus followers through personal and corporate worship. Grow. CG3 disciples grow in their trust and understanding of who Jesus is and their willingness to follow him through being part of a group or a smaller community. Give. CG3 disciples give generously to God's kingdom work through the ministries of the local church. And go. CG3 disciples go to join in God's kingdom mission by reaching and serving their neighbors with the love of Jesus. And so we created the Discipleship Dozen as a roadmap of sorts. It's to help people take next steps in following Jesus. It's a guide to help point you toward a deeper relationship with God. And it's also a guide to help you gauge your health as a CG3 disciple. And so if you look at the grid, it's on your screen. If you look at the grid, each of the discipleship words has three practices associated with it that will help you take next steps in following Jesus. So under Connect, you start with baptism, the starting line of faith. And again, several people in our in-person services today are taking that step. And then if you want to connect to Jesus more deeply, maybe you need to attend worship weekly in person or online. Maybe you attend worship monthly right now, and a way for you to connect to Jesus more deeply is to attend worship more frequently. Maybe a next step for you in connecting with Jesus is to participate in the daily Bible and prayer that The Village creates. Or maybe it's simply to commit to pray and spend time with God every day. And so look at that under Connect and ask yourself what your next steps might be. You can do the same thing under Grow. Maybe you need to join a group. Maybe that would be a next step for you. Maybe you're in a group, but you need to invite someone or a smaller group to hold you accountable to grow in your faith. Maybe a next step for you to help you grow is to lead a group. And then under Give, the more generous you become as a person, the more fully alive you become. So maybe a first step for you in becoming a generous person is just to give financially for the first time. Maybe it's to give consistently. Maybe it's to really begin to give sacrificially, giving at the level of the tithe or above. That's 10%. I know when Amanda and I started giving at least 10% of our income to the church, we felt it. We absolutely felt it, but it was a game changer for our generosity. You know, Jesus actually said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus says that you can actually direct your heart with your treasure, and where you spend your money is what you'll actually come to care about. And then undergo. It's exhilarating when you start to figure out what your God-given gifts are and your God-given passions, and you begin to use them for God's kingdom. And it's amazing what happens when you start to share your story of how God is changing your life with other people, and when you begin to think of your whole life as a way to serve God and to serve the community. And so I'm encouraging you to use this as a guide for how you can awaken to the life that God offers us through Jesus. Listen, as we wrap up this series, Coming Back Home, I want you to know that the invitation for you to come back home is a lifelong invitation. I mean, you are inevitably going to find yourself drifting into complacency or looking for substitutes or thinking you have all the answers that you need. It's human nature. But when that happens, your invitation to come back home and to become fully alive again in Jesus is a wide open invitation, because God is always ready. God is always waiting. God is always welcoming. Jesus wants you to become fully alive. And Jesus wants to use your life as an invitation for other people to join you. So I want to ask you, if you would, to pray with me. No matter where you are, I want to ask you if you'd close your eyes and pray with me. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the invitation that Jesus offers us to become fully alive. Not just to experience the motions of life and the mechanics of life, but God, to experience life to the fullest. God, we thank you for the invitation and the opportunity that we have that's wide open for us to come back home. So God, I pray that you'd awaken in us the longing to connect with you. God, I pray in the places where we need to awaken to regret, we would do that, but it would also lead us to awaken to help, to the fact that you are always there, willing and ready to help us. God, I pray that you would awaken us to love, to the love that you have for us, to the love of a Father who's always waiting, looking not with contempt, but with compassion. And today, God, I pray that you would awaken us to life. Help us to take next steps in following Jesus. Help us to become fully alive today. God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.